Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are again, this wintry morning. This is Mike Paulson from New York. This is our Cup of Goodness program, continuing on with the goodness of God, not on the physical supposed blessings, but the spiritual goodness that is represented and spoken of and found in a King James Bible, rightly divided by looking to Paul's books only, while you study your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, because it's written there for your learning. But as far as application goes, we go to Paul as our only apostle, not the Big 12, not to the gospels that Jesus preached to the Jews, but to the gospel that Jesus, the risen Savior, said to Paul, who then took it to us through a rightly divided King James Bible. That which is perfect has come, and everything else got shoved aside and no longer takes place. It's just all taken place through a King James Bible. We are going to get into something different today. We are done with the marriage thing just for a couple days. I thought I'd make it into a week, but then I got to thinking, no, there's the stuff. It's done quickly. I do have one thing I want to say in kind of a post-conclusion, and that's to you single guys out there, especially in the website family. I know there's a number of you single guys. What an opportunity. If we look at the scriptures we talked about the last couple days, he says, remember where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." What an opportunity do you have not to have the family, not to have the needs of the world to be met. If you get a hold of rightly dividing a King James Bible, which I know a lot of you guys out there have, and some of you ladies I know are even that way, what an opportunity to fulfill the scriptures written to the ladies, written to the men, to go out there. In fact, he says in Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son," talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I know you've heard that verse. But then he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What an opportunity in that singleness that you have to go out there and find somebody somewhere by asking the questions or dropping some C's or at least bringing up the conversation, bringing up the point, bringing up the facts, whatever, just about your Bible, and see if you can't create an opportunity to teach people about the risen Savior in the King James Bible, rightly divided. You've got the stuff. You've heard the stuff. Take that book and go out there and take advantage of that opportunity that you have. Yes, it's very difficult. It's very frustrating. Nobody wants to hear it. Romans 11:22. We know that. But still, you have the best opportunity to teach others, at least to try to find somebody to teach, because of your singleness. But anyway, this morning's program is going to deal with the fact that, you know, when you look at the news and you see the things that are going on, and you see our nation just crumbling like it is, and you see the pestilence is growing, and the rumors of war is coming. You know, people are starting to wise up that we're falling apart. And what we need to recognize is that tribulation is what place is all headed for. Everything is just headed for the tribulation. If you don't know anything about the tribulation, I'll show you a couple of things tonight. But for those of you that do, you know, It's really frustrating for me to know that people are being caught up in their religion, in their things, and yet they know about the tribulation that's coming, but they're not able to put their finger down on the fact that they know they won't be there for it, because their pastors teach that you will be there for it. A lot of pastors are actually teaching and preaching you to be prepared for the tribulation, because the Antichrist knows that you are going to be in the tribulation. Now, that's not a concern for me personally. I, without a doubt, know that I'm saved from God's wrath. I know, without a doubt, Romans 11:22 tells me the doctrine will be different during the tribulation. And so we're looking to the risen Savior now, the dispensation of grace. So it's not a concern for me. But if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So the people that are out there, and they're hearing me talk about the risen Savior, they're hearing me talk about Paul, to hearing me talk about the King James Bible when it says that Paul, Barnabas, and these guys are made manifest in your consciences. You should be thinking some of this stuff as you put your head on your pillow at night. What if this guy's right? What if all this stuff he's been talking about were to be true? See, that should be perking your conscience a little bit here. And he says again, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We understand what's coming up in the tribulation. And it really is a big deal. You know, it's huge. It's the biggest thing this world has ever seen. So we do have a concern for people. Well, why? Because we know the terror of the Lord. We know what this tribulation is going to be. But the fact that people that are caught up in this modern Christianity, this modern religion, you've got the tribulation coming. People that are caught up with these modern Bibles, pastors that teach the Jesus gospel to the Jews, to the Gentiles today, and music, we learned that all kinds of music will cause people to bow down and worship the Antichrist when he gets here. People that are caught up in Pentecostalism, and the miracles and the wonders and the speaking in tongues, etc. You got the Lutherans that are into the water baptism and being and taking the Lord's Supper after confirmation so they know that they're a child of God. You've got the Methodists. You've got the Mormons with Jesus as a brother to Satan. You've got the Seventh-day Adventists where they still try to worship on the Sabbath day and get caught up in that hypocrisy. And you got the Baptists who are into First Baptist, Second Baptist, you know, whatever. You got the Free Will Baptists. You got the Calvinistic Baptists. And you got the Bible Believer Baptists that actually wrongly divide and are still caught up with the stuff that the modern Christianity is. Well, what's that? The music. The pastors teaching the wrong gospel. Even though they use a King James Bible. Holding a King James Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Putting your faith in the risen Savior through the teachings of Paul is what does by your faith in Christ, not by your feeling in your heart. Oh, anyway, let's just get past it. Ronnie, I want to talk to you this morning because we're going to talk about Christmas. Well, what does all that introduction have to do with Christmas? Well, I'll show you here, you know. We've got these songs, Joy to the World. We've got Silent Night, Holy Night. We three kings of Orient are waiting away in a manger. What is a manger, you know? If a person were to do a scriptural study of the nativity scene, for example, you would find that not one ounce of any fact in that nativity scene, other than the fact that Jesus was born, God was manifest in the flesh, none of that nativity scene is true. Maybe we should talk about that someday. Is that really Jesus' birthday? In the wintertime? Here's something. This is just my thought. This is just totally my thought. No proof whatsoever other than just an observation here. It wouldn't surprise me. We know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. But that birth that did take place, it wouldn't surprise me that it took place more into the fall because we know that's when it took place. And we've got Halloween going on. Wouldn't surprise me that the devil would take the day that Christ actually was born in the flesh, that the devil would take that day and make that his day of celebration. And the Antichrist, the Jesus, and the devil would make this December 25th thing his birthday, really. But nowhere are we told to celebrate his birth, you know. And anyway, you go back to these hymns, these Christmas hymns, and you look at those things, and if you look at the lyrics, you'd find out that they really aren't true. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Well, not really. Silent night, holy night. It really was a holy night. We know that's not true. That's a Catholic teaching. You study those words of the Christmas songs today, and you will see that they match perfectly to the tribulation. Jesus, today, no. The Antichrist. During the tribulation. It's a marvelous study. Maybe we'll do that sometime too. The Christmas music is an emotional set. It's something that's just, it's there for the season. And this Christmas season, do you not celebrate Christmas? Do you not have a tree in your house? All the issues are all over. It comes up every year at this time. Well, for just a little bit different approach to this Christmas thing. Listen, if you've got patience and long suffering, et cetera, If people want to have a tree, let them have a tree. You know, if people want to give out packages, let them give out packages. If people want to sing those songs, let them sing those songs. We know the truth about Christmas. If you go back and you study a book, it's called, let's see what that thing was called, The Two Babylons. You can find the distinct, detailed history of Christmas, Easter, that type of thing. And it's not of God. But listen, Christmas takes place, okay? Well, there's something that I don't think people realize about this whole Christmas thing that's becoming more and more obvious as we get closer and closer to the tribulation. Really, what in the world are you going to tell us this morning about Christmas and the tribulation? Come on, where are you going to go with this thing? Well, we're going to go to Matthew 24. Now, let's just read a little bit about what Jesus said about that coming time. Matthew chapter 24, let's go to verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That makes me think now that I understand about all these pastors preaching Jesus' gospel, Jesus' teachings, that was to be taught to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. That could be easily referring to those people that say they're coming in his name. And they're deceiving many people. They're deceiving just about everybody out there anymore. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, we know that's taking place. That's been taking place for years. Oh, not like it is today. He says, See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, meaning many different places, strange places you don't normally find earthquakes. Well, we know that's taking place. So are you trying to prep us this morning, Brother Paulson, as they would say, for the coming of the tribulation any minute here? No, because the rapture, as we call it, the cutting away of the Gentiles, that still has to take place. But I want to show you, I'm leading this all up to show you something really interesting about Christmas. It says in verse 8, All these are the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So that sounds like we're in that days already, but we're not. And I'll show you why in a minute here. Let's finish this up. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So this time that Jesus is warning about, people will have to endure through that. Is that what we're into today? Is that what pastors are teaching? That's what they have to teach if they're going to teach Matthew. They have to teach that the world is as so bad as it is, that all the prophecy stuff that's going on, they're trying to pull this stuff in to scare us into thinking that we're almost into that time. Many of them are saying that we're into that time, so that you need to endure until the end. Then he finishes up in verse 14, And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, that's what he warns about in Matthew. Now, if we go to Romans chapter 11, 22, we know for a fact that what he's talking about here is he's talking about the severity of God, that's to the Jews, and the goodness of God is to the Gentiles. And he says, But toward thee, meaning the Gentile nation, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And that's when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, verse 25. When that happens, well, that's the rapture, as we like to call it, because doctrine has to change. If you look at Revelation chapter 14, you know this gospel of the kingdom? He says here in verse 6, And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Then we go to verse 9, And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, which we learn will take place because of music in Daniel chapter 3, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, which we now see in the news last week that people have an option to take their medical record into a chip into their hand. They've even got it down to where they're now saying in the hand. Getting closer. Are we at that time? I'll show you. Just keep going here. We go to verse 11. And the smoke of their torment descended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Well, of course they won't. Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, which, by the way, again, in Ephesians 1:13, 12 and 13, an NIV Bible says that the Christians need to take the mark of being a Christian. So the devil's already got the so-called Bibles supporting taking a mark. King James Bible never says, Jesus never tells us to take a mark. There's no mark that represents the fact that you're a Christian. Then you go to verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They've got to keep, they have to do what they have to do to keep that faith. We could talk forever here on the tribulation, but we're going to go to Revelation chapter 11. So we know that this is coming up soon, it's getting closer. But we also know that the cutting away of the Gentile nation needs to take place. We call that the rapture. I'm not worried about the tribulation. I'm concerned about those people that think they're Christian. They think they're worshiping Christ. They think their pastor is telling them the truth. They think the music they're playing is pleasing God. They think that the wonders and the signs and the speaking in tongues is from God. They think that being baptized makes you a Christian. They think you need to be baptized after you're a Christian. They think that you need to contribute greatly to this church, who they say Jesus is Satan's brother. They think that you have to worship on Saturday. And then you got the baptistic stuff that goes around and around. You got your local Lord's Supper. You got your baptism you need to have. It's just a confusing mess. It's just terrible. But we're going to Revelation 11. I'm going to show you something, that this Christmas thing is building up into something. I mean, it isn't just a Catholic celebration of the Mass, Christ Mass. Well, it represents that, no doubt. And all the details and characteristics of Christmas is a Catholic teaching. Go back and read that book, The Two Babylons. His name is Hyssop that wrote the book, and read all the details of history of Christmas. But you don't do that. You don't worship your Christmas tree in your house. And you just sing those songs because you love Jesus and you want to sing about Jesus. And maybe you're aware of some of those words really aren't right, but the emotionality of the music just gives you family tradition and you just enjoy listening. The melodies of some of these songs just bring tears to your eyes because it's so sweet to think about this baby Jesus, you know. I'm going to show you something in Revelation chapter 11. Let's start with verse 3. Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now this is going to take place during the tribulation. This is what people will see. This will be taking place. This is not a spiritualistic story. This is what is going to be taking place. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Wow. And devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Wow. So these two people here, these two guys here, says here, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and a power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. I'm telling you, there's going to be so many things that people will see. You would think during this time they would start obeying the law, because that's what they'll have to be doing. They can have their faith. Like all the guys in Daniel chapter 11, their faith will have to carry them through. You would think with what they're seeing, they would turn to God. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Now we're getting close. Now just listen up here. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Well, what city is that? Well, it says where also our Lord was crucified. So we know where that took place. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. So the whole world is going to see these two guys. Well, how can that be? Well, that's easy. TV, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We know that, internet and all that. Now, here we go. This is verse 10. This is an amazing verse. Keep in mind what's taking place in Christmas. It gets bigger every year. Because when I was young, Christmas wasn't what it is today. And there's some folks of you out there that when you were young, Christmas really wasn't what it is today. But it sure has grown. It's grown in materialistic stuff. It's grown in participation. It's grown in religion. Now listen to this verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Over who? These two guys, these two witnesses that were killed, and their bodies shall see their bodies, their dead bodies, 3 days and a half. They'll be laying there, they'll see these dead bodies. They'll be so thrilled that they got these guys taken out of the picture. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Well, that's not enough. Merry Christmas, M-E-R-R-Y, they're going to make merry. But there's more to this, where it says, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. See, I mean, this is an amazing verse. These folks are going to be doing exactly what we do today over Christmas, making merry, Merry Christmas, and will be giving gifts one to another. They will be so full of joy and happiness. But what did they do? Well, they killed the two witnesses. Okay? That'll be their joy. So there is a purpose for the Antichrist to be building up this whole Christmas scene. Well, you're a Scrooge. No, I'm just showing you here where this Christmas thing is headed. It's just like everything else is headed for the tribulation. This thing is going there too. Are you worried about being in the tribulation? Not if you're looking at Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, through Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided. Maybe you've left the Pentecostal church. Maybe you've left the Lutheran church. Maybe you've left the Methodist, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist. Maybe you're wise about your music. Does your pastor teach you the gospel? Are you into the new? Are you understanding the risen Savior? Have you tossed all that stuff out? All these things that we talk about, we see the mark getting closer and closer. We see the world government getting stronger and stronger. We see globalism growing more and more. We see all that stuff. But is anybody out there talking about Revelation chapter 11, verse 10, for Christmas? The design of Christmas, the Merry Christmas, the time when people will be so happy they'll be giving gifts to each other, is when they kill the two main witnesses during the tribulation. That's where this thing is headed. This is what Christmas really is setting people up to be ready to do. That doesn't mean you're going to do that. But then again, like I say, if you haven't left all this other stuff, you know, if you're caught up in this modern Christianity, I'm describing to you what your Christmas will be like during that tribulation. You'll be given gifts. You'll be happy. You'll be merry because they killed the two witnesses. And when that takes place, you better know by then that, you know what, I think this is not good. And you'll be stuck. Well, it's very simple. You're just going to have that patience of the saints. You just better start keeping the commandments and the faith of Jesus. But if you've taken the mark, which they'll ask you to do, because in your Bible it tells you to take the mark to show that you're a Christian, you've been had, and you can't get out of it. Hebrews chapter 6 tells you that. That's geared for the tribulation. That's what's coming up, folks. Well, let's finish this chapter up here a little bit. Let's read that verse again, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Whoa, what a thing to see. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Boy, won't that be something to see for those people. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. It's nice to see somebody will wise up. But will they wise up with the truth? Or will their pastors turn them to Paul and God's grace? Yeah, all the stuff that was taught during the dispensation of grace, I look for the devil to be teaching that stuff during the tribulation. Why would you say that? Well, I'll see if I can find it here, in Peter here. Because Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about Paul. Now remember, this is tribulation stuff now. And he says, "...an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." So Peter says they're going to start to be trying to figure out what Paul had to say. Now, are they talking about what Paul had to say to the Gentiles that the pastors will be teaching? And then to finish out this thing in Revelation 11, the second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So this will be the end of the tribulation. So if somebody ends up getting killed in the streets for 3.5 days, stand around, you're going to watch them get up and go up to heaven. And then you're going to hear from God himself. But see, that's the tribulation. If you start to see that stuff taking place, you probably already have taken the mark. You're probably already sunk because you can't untake that mark. You might as well just keep going on worshiping the beast and get ready for the big war. When Jesus comes down, he's going to take care of that thing, and you're on the wrong side. That's what's coming up. And I guess we just have to say Merry Christmas, because that's what it'll be. They'll be having a Merry Christmas when they see those two witnesses killed, but then they'll see them get up and go up to heaven. What a shocker. What a Christmas that'll be. Anyway, that's tribulation stuff. That's not today. So, if you're doing Christmas, send me a gift. I'm okay with gifts. Go ahead and send me gifts. Go ahead and send me money. Send me things. I'm okay with that. That's what's going on. That's the holiday time. But I know where this stuff is headed. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And so many people are caught up with that. Well, we'll pick up something new tomorrow.